Yo, 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 check it out. This is the rapper Big Pooh, live and direct. Right now, you're checking out the Hip Hop Digest Show. Yeah,
y'all playing and shit, like, what? You know what I'm saying? I'm really, like, on some shit, like, separating entertainment from reality. Entertainment is all this entertainment and social media shit and all this internet shit, you know what I'm saying, and that y'all on. The reality is you niggas not gonna play with me. Know what I'm saying? In real life. Know what I'm saying? I had kind of like lost my way and had started like feeding into this internet shit. Know what I'm saying? Started like going live and had started like responding and had kind of like started like feeding into this internet shit. But it had me like I'm lame vibing. Every time I try to do this entertainment shit, every time I try to like play with you niggas or try to act like, oh, politic with you niggas or try to act like I'm network, or anytime I try to like go against, you know what I'm saying? It be like, I be feeling like I be lame vibing, you know what I'm saying? So I don't even play with you niggas, you know what I'm saying? In reality, you niggas know I smush one of you people, 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 smush one of you people.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. We here. What's up?
We coming. We coming. We coming. We're coming. We're here.
Take it back.
Damn. People say we
right. Yeah, you gotta have deep history for that one.
No doubt. If you putting that together, you're a true veteran. So no doubt. No doubt. That's what's good. Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. Thank you for riding with us.
Thank you.
You know how we get down. We always clowning as we get in. This is going to be an interesting show for a lot of different reasons. There's going to be two for ones.
Oh, damn.
So, it's going to be a lot of two for one topics.
You had a special this week.
Yeah. You know, some on sale things or whatever. So, I ain't even going to waste time. Let me get right in. You know, this phone thing is still has me... has me all bedeviled, if you will. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is an arrest warrant.
Shit.
Issued for your boy, Kodiak.
You mean your boy?
Yeah, that's my man.
Another one?
Well, this is...
Khaled, another one.
No, this is probably the same one.
Oh, okay, because I was like, God damn, I just saw a video of him asking... some candy.
So anyway, issues for the register over drug policy violation. So, you know, even though he did get out of jail, but I guess he still got some leftover probation time.
This nigga probably got years of probation.
Probably. But you know how it is, you know, when you under the thumb of the state or whatever, he still got to go in and you know.
Got to give him that sample.
Exactly, to see if he got cloudy piss.
Yep.
But apparently he did. And people are actually concerned about Kodiak because he popped positive, according to the record, for fentanyl.
Oh, damn.
And that fentanyl shit is taking niggas out.
For real.
I mean, that's just 100, yo. I mean, does anybody learn anything? That's what took Prince out.
Yeah.
A lot of these people don't even know that shit's in the drug, though, when they taking it.
Some of them.
Some of them don't. But a lot of them, they just be cutting that shit, putting it in there.
But what the ones that do know, have you learned nothing from crack?
Ooh. Well, man, now a lot of these kids were too young for that. But anyway, let me read the copy. And really, let's get down to the nitty gritty. The agency he was supposed to report to for a random drug testing claims he was a no-show for screening and then failed to submit a sample that day. On the following week, February 8th, the same agency says Kodiak did submit a sample, but they alleged it came back cloudy.
I guess he was on YouTube trying to find out how you get fentanyl out your system.
So, this thing, all this shit, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, I'm trying to read this shit and it's just popping over the commercials and pop-ups and all this shit. Anyway, damn it, I totally lost my... Anyway, they said it came back positive for fentanyl, according to the agency. There was an arrest warrant put out. Your man, I mean, my man, no doubt. You know, you think he's a cat who don't know what he's taking?
I don't think he cares. At this point, if he's really, if you're on probation and you have to take a piss test for however, every week, every other day, whatever the fucking frequency is, and you still out here doing drugs, you don't give a fuck.
Mm. Got you. Got you. So anyway, his fans and people, you know, I guess around him were alarmed that it wasn't the usual, you know, marijuana positive. It was the old fentanyl.
No syrup and shit, none of that.
Yeah, probably none of the regular drugs or whatever. It was fentanyl. So they were concerned as far as that concerned. And I'm concerned. You know what I mean? These young boys, you know what I'm saying, they take life a little too loose, if you ask me. You know?
It's funny how your man's just continuing to chug along. And then the one little, what was it, little baby that I was trying so hard. That nigga done faded into obscurity right now.
Oh, you talking about the baby?
No, little baby, right? The one from Charlotte.
That's the baby.
That's the baby.
The baby, yeah.
No, little baby's faded. Still running it.
Yeah, little baby, yeah. He's still that dude that somebody told me he's the new Tupac, but okay.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. But if you bring up a very interesting case in point. I mean, the baby was primed to be the man.
Yeah.
And just...
He ran headlong into that alphabet train and got smacked.
Flat. And doubled down and tripled down.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't taking it back. Then when he did decide he was going to take it back and start the apology train, it was too late.
Too late.
All right. Well, let's do the, again, it's a two for one Kodiak this week. The next topic considering on the Hip Hop Digest is also Kodiak. Kodiak has refused to work with your boy, the Maple Leaf, due to his close working relationship with 21 Savage. Apparently, there's some history between 21 and Kodiak. They don't like each other. I'm not getting into that. Fuck that. I don't care.
I'm clapping back.
You ain't gonna be making no negative under my. What'd he say?
Making no comp. This is me in the comments.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, he said that he had told Drake that he ain't gonna do no collab because he said no songs on the album. He said because you basically he when it gets right down to he told Drake he was like, look, yo, you know you doing a record with this nigga, and he whack. Because it's Kodiak. not me. Kodiak, like, this nigga whack. And then you burning the candle at both ends. And then you want to come do a record with me. You know what I'm saying? I don't see how that can work. You know? So, nah, I'm not doing it. Other artists, namely Future, said also about Drake that, damn, yo, you fucking up the album that we did together. You fucking up the quality of that.
Damn.
See, this is something I said a long time ago about this motherfucker. He jumping on all kinds of saltpeters, my nigga. He jumping on all kinds of saltpeters. You know what I mean? And it's just, and finally, at least for Kodiak, see, this is why he's my man. He recognized, you know, the phoniness of cats. Now, that don't mean that somebody won't stuff enough money in his shirt pocket to make him do the collab album. That can always happen.
They said they already made songs together.
Yes.
They just didn't come out.
Right. They were in the studio. But Kodiak has since then said, damn, you fucking with this clown, nigga. So I don't know how good that works. Now, like I said, you know, if enough money gets stuffed in your front shirt pocket swerving,
Everybody has a price, yo. So it depends on what the fuck they stuffing money in my pocket for. I'll make a record with Drake. Fuck it. It's the worst shit, but the highest paid.
Let me get this hating ass nigga on a record with me.
Exactly. I'll be like that. What's that motherfucker? The Mad MC. What was that dude back in the day?
Oh, Mad Rapper.
Mad Rapper. I'll just be that. Talking shit. I ain't rapping.
Okay, so let me read the copy. It says Kodiak Black, 21 Savage.
Kodiak.
Butted heads last year. Okay, something about the 21 said that he could beat Kodiak in a versus battle. Kodiak is like, I'm smoking that nigga.
Is this music or is it boxing? What the fuck?
Is it music? A versus battle. That's music.
Right, right.
Wow.
It sounded like boxing, but he said a versus battle. That versus was hot at one point for about a good couple months.
Yeah, till they started talking about fees, subscriptions.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, according to Kodiak Black, teased the collaboration album with Drake in June 22, revealing that, like Kurt G said, that they had already recorded some tunes or whatever, but then once the 21 Savage thing came out, Kodiak soured on the deal. You know, Kodiak is an indicator nigga for me. He's a true indicator nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to really listen to his music. I know that. You know what I'm saying? But he is an indicator nigga. And if you're a Maple Leaf nigga, you got to be worried when a cat like Kodiak is like, nah, nigga. You got to be worried about that. You know what I'm saying? Because he's actually, his street sense has proven to be a little bit more, shall I say, robust than others out there.
B.
Okay, talk to me.
All this shit sound like nonsense to me. Because if it's all over a versus battle, then what's all the hubbub about? It's not like these niggas had real beef. Like somebody shot at somebody or some shit like that. It wasn't none of that. He did an album with the nigga, and it was
Kodiak, all he said
about you was that he could beat you in a versus battle. That's hip hop, my nigga.
Yeah, but Kodiak fancies himself as a real like rap guy, and that guys like 21 Savage and them niggas is not as talented as him. Now, whether that's true or not, or if this is self, you know, grandizing, who knows? But that Kodiak just fancies himself a real rap guy.
But I still say, why? What's all the hubbub about him? If he fancies himself a real rap guy, then he should know about the rules of the game, that if a nigga challenge you, you're supposed to take the challenge. Nigga said he'll beat you in a versus battle, so let's do this then, nigga. What's good?
I don't know if he's taking it like that. I don't know if he knows the rules. I don't know. So, yeah, you're right. Indeed. All right. So, I'm going to keep it moving. I don't want to talk about them niggas too long.
It's been too long already.
Indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is 2 for 1.
Another one.
Yeah. Nas explains why he's no longer inspired by rappers his own age.
Oh, come on. 3 Stack Nas.
Yeah, I know. He says he no longer looks to rappers his own age to keep him inspired.
Please 49. Tell me how he cleaned this up.
Okay, the 49-year-old rap legend was on the Stephen Colbert show and said these things. He explains that he isn't motivated by the hip-hop veterans because most of them are no longer active.
Okay.
All right.
But yet in same interview, he spit off them MC Shan verses.
Shan is older than him, so he grew up under that Shan thing. He's talking about the guys who he came in the game with that he used to be inspired by are largely no longer active. Now, he probably would be right on that, though.
He's 100% right on that. Most of them niggas that he came in the game with that was commercial like he was at the time and out here getting it, 99.9% of them niggas is gone. That is very true.
And so he's on Stephen Colbert, not for Illmatic. He's on Stephen Colbert because that Hit Boy albums and the 3 subsequent, along with Magic, which never gets mentioned, King's Disease records has him
in a different ethos.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
He has the ears of young boys because they're listening, and because of the Hit Boy tracks. And they just, not that they understand what the fuck this nigga's talking about, because they're still dictionary lyrics, but they're paying attention to him now because of Hit Boy.
Right, right, right. And so he's saying, you know, the guys my age, my era, you know, what are they really doing? Even off the top of my head, I don't know if I'm going to really name any names, but he do sound like Andre 3000 that way. He's like, I'm not really inspired. You know
for Nas, I'm gonna say this. I find it hard to believe or accept or whatever that was his only motivation to be the MC that he became. Other people, yo, what about just being motivated by showing how great you are? What about being motivated for moving the crowd? What about being motivated for being where you are at this point and still be in the game? Let that motivate you.
Well, obviously, he's being motivated by these Hit-Boy beats.
And let me read this. He would say, Colbert asked Nas, what does he see in Hit-Boy? And what does he see in Hit-Boy? And what is missing in himself? And Nas replied, youth. There you go. Hit-Boy coming in the lab with all the youthful energy. And here's Nas doing what he does best. He's just an MC. You know what I'm saying? You know, real talk. Hey, maybe Large Professor beats got a lot of shelf life on it. You know, the sale pass, sale date. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not accepting that one.
Okay.
He didn't say producers. Hopefully, he wasn't thinking about producers.
He didn't say that. I'm just surmising. No, he didn't say that.
Okay,
no,
so he's talking about strictly rappers and MCs.
Right.
Let's hope.
Right.
And even that, still, like, come on, yo. If you want to quit, you can quit. Or if you want to go young boy, go ahead.
So now here we go. King's Disease 3 debuted at number 10 on the Billboard 200. Okay. Earning Nas his 16th top 10 album on the charts, tying him with Jay-Z. There you go.
You know he's coming back with another one.
So
just the beat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but I bet you it'll be in the same vein as his current work, won't it? Then so that will guarantee he will have the upper hand, or so to speak.
Oh, of course. So he's already good. Probably got King's Disease 4 already halfway in the can.
And the copy says the pair are readying King's Disease 4 with a complete guest appearance, allegedly from 50 Cent. So here we go. There it is. So there you go. That King's Disease.
Stand accused. Nas is doing something new here.
All right. So now here's the Nas part two. Here's Nas part two. Nas at Madison Square Garden for one night only. Nas recently did the Madison Square. I'm not sure when he did the Madison Square Garden, but it was recently. And I caught most of the show. First of all, I'm assuming it was an iPhone. Where this guy was sitting, because he had the shit on his iPhone, recorded great viewing angles. I'm in the garden like I'm at the motherfucking show. Like, wow, Nas at the garden. So, and on YouTube, and hadn't got pulled down yet. So I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, so Nas, it really made me think about how many guys, before we get into the Nas thing itself, how many guys solo can do Madison Square Garden? Obviously, we know Hov. And now Nas, how many guys can do it?
Not many. That might be it. At this point in time, that might be it.
You don't think that them young cats can do it?
I mean, Kendrick might be able to do it.
I don't think Kendrick can do it.
But I mean, somebody like...
I don't think Kendrick can do it.
French Montana.
Hell
like,
no. None of them. Hell
somebody,
no.
Like, somebody like Drake.
He probably
Drake
could.
Drake maybe. Drake maybe.
He probably could.
You think Wayne? Because a lot of them young cats in New York love Wayne.
I don't think Wayne can do it.
Wayne has a chance.
I don't think Wayne.
Wayne has a chance.
I mean, I'ma say the Maple Leaf, just because
he'll have it packed with females.
Just
with
yeah,
Ross.
Right.
No.
And I think you're underestimating. Bring the Maybach music to. He could sell out the garden.
No, if you bring everybody with him, yes.
No, but
I'm saying he's by himself.
Oh, on a standalone.
Yeah.
No, okay. Forget it. No.
Okay, scratch him off them other people I said, but I still stand on them other people, possibly.
None of them niggas. J. Cole, nope. None of them niggas.
Nah, Cole, no.
Yeah, I don't think Cole.
I still think Wayne has a shot. I know the Maple Leaf definitely has a shot. And that's pretty much it.
Snoop?
Nobody.
As a one night only?
Ain't nobody paying to go
Snoop
see Snoop.
Snoop one night only.
Nah.
Nah.
Nope.
He had to be out here in L.A. somewhere, huh?
I mean, B, I don't... look, even if you took the equivalent arena in your own city... Okay, let's say not the Garden. Let's just say not New York City, whatever the equivalent arena
here,
size.
T-Mobile Arena here in Vegas.
Right, exactly. Who's doing those solo? Even if you said, okay, what West Coast cat could do that solo? Boy, you'd really have a really tough time, even amongst the legends.
Stuck at Kendrick, stuck.
Yeah, Kendrick maybe. About the only one.
Wow. Wow.
Because you're talking about now, you're saying solo.
I'm
niggas
right.
Can pack it out if they bring a bunch of people with them.
Right.
Put a bunch of names
like
up there.
Did.
Right. You put a bunch of names up there, hear the Bad Boy tour coming out through. Yeah, you can fill that bitch up.
So.
Right.
But anyway, so the concert itself was pretty good. He comes out, a bevy of King's Disease records. Now, as the guy with the phone is panning, you're seeing a range of people in the audience, from dreaded young bulls to middle-aged white women in the Garden, heavy. I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. Wow.
His time in the game has earned him that, though.
He's been around a long time.
Right, I mean, again, plenty.
You're talking about 30 years, my nigga.
Yeah, plenty of young bulls and middle-aged, you know, white women was up in there and everything in between.
And he gets that's what Hit-Boy gave him. To have the ability to have the young boys in the crowd.
And young bulls.
Because they'll be feeling the beats, if nothing else.
Right, young bulls was in the crowd. So Nas is going through his thing. The first guest out the box was, I'm trying to think who was first. I'm fucking up the order because, anyway, Mary J. Blige shows up, you know. She does a couple of lines, gives him a hug. It was more of a supportive thing, not really a part of the show. Okay? AZ shows up.
Oh, he has to.
Well, I mean, good God, yes.
I'm surprised he did a song off of that album.
He
thought he wasn't performing anymore.
He did it, boy, and the crowd, let me tell you something in a minute about the crowd. So anyway, AZ shows up, he did his thing.
Had to have Lauryn Hill.
You know what I'm saying? Lauryn Hill was not there.
Wow.
Yeah, Lauryn Hill was not there. And on that cut, females, they bring the whole music down, and females were singing the Lauryn Hill parts for him. So that was that. You know what I'm saying? Slick Rick shows up.
Wow.
Yeah. Slick Rick shows up or whatever. You know, does his thing or whatever, but then he's in, he's out. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think.
Damn, yo. Real pause real quick. I'm listening to you intently. That ain't necessarily standing on his own.
No, B. The amount of time that these folks were on stage was minuscule.
Shit, nigga, it don't matter. He got a fucking full posse.
But he didn't put them on the bill.
No, they weren't on the bill.
No.
So they didn't know that the people in the crowd didn't know they were gonna be there.
Right.
You're right.
So they paid to come see Nas.
No doubt. It could have been anybody showing up.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that you would change your mind when you really look at the totality of the music being, he's doing whole cuts, whole joints or whatever. He took a second out to play a couple of De La Soul records, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, you know what I'm saying? That type of thing. So he honored that or whatever. But
man, I feel cheated.
Man, this nigga, when they put on Made You Look,
oh my goodness,
the arena erupted.
Wow.
Slave to a page in my rhyme book.
Oh, son, no doubt. I mean, he got up there, he did it all. And it really makes you think about Nas in the fact that he's doing joints. And we may criticize Nas, or Nas don't know how to pick beats, but 30 years in the game, he had enough material to go up there Frank Sinatra style, my G. I mean, he was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one mic. Geez, think about one mic. The first time I heard that record, I think I damn near lost my mind because I wasn't expecting it to do that. because it was just, the beat was going so slow, and he was just, I thought it was just going to be on some poetry shit, him just rhyming and hitting his shit, and I'm like, okay, all right, hot. Then the beat just switch up and go, I was like, oh my goodness.
You know what I mean? Another record that niggas, that I love, well, I love the beat, but niggas usually pan him for that. Man, Uchiwali had the
female. That track is whack.
Yo, that track is fire to me, yo. But the females is going crazy off Uchiwali, son.
Man,
it was made for them.
You damn right it was made for them, Uchiwali. Fucking Snake Charmer music.
I'm sorry,
track,
yo.
Man, that track is whack.
That Uchiwali, that, I'm telling you, that track crazy, son. The kick and snare on that, crazy.
Oh, the beat, I'll give you that. The beat is hard. But that Snake Charmer shit just fucks with me, B.
Really?
Yeah.
But you like that? But you like that Indian style joint when DJ Quick and Dre and them did it?
Which one was that?
On the Truth Hurts joint.
The Truth Hurts. Oh yeah, that Truth Hurts joint. Yeah, yeah. That track with Rakim.
With Rakim.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Oh, but it's still not as prevalent. As
that Snake Charmer. Plus that Snake Charmer joint was just that straight. I'm like, oh my goodness, get the fuck out of here with this shit. If he had just rhymed over the beat, straight up Run DMC style on it, oh, I would have been like, okay, this shit crazy.
Wow. All right. That's what's up. Yo, so anyway, so shout to Nas and shout to whoever that cat was with his phone filming the entire concert at the Garden. It was a treat. You know what I mean? I watched the entire concert, was into it.
Maybe you'll put the link in the text chain.
Lay some treats on us.
As if I could find it, but I'll see what I could do. You know what I mean?
You know YouTube and them will remind you of what you watched.
Do you want to watch this too?
What I'm saying is that I was shocked that it didn't get pulled. It may be gone by now.
Leor might have been like, man, get that shit out of here.
Exactly. So, no doubt. So anyway, during the week, I be on some old different shit. Just listening to the amount of music and the database of music that I'm managing. I listen to a lot of different joints. And I happen to come across, and this is super old man radio. This ain't even got nothing to do with hip hop. But I came across some lyrics on a song from the Tramps.
The Tramps?
Yes.
70s, ain't it?
Yes. Oh yeah, right. I got that. It's hot. So anyway, the Tramps, 70s soul group in the disco. I actually think they had a big record on the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever. As a matter of fact, yes, they did. So anyway, but the Tramps got a record that they did back in the 70s called 60 Minute Man.
Damn.
And as I'm listening to the record, and I just found myself thinking, damn. Here we go again. As kids, even if they played the record, would we have caught the references to what they talking about?
Probably not.
So let me read the lyrics to the Tramps, 60 Minute Man. This is in the middle of the cut. The middle of the cut. He said, there'll be 15 minutes of kissing, and then you'll holler. Please don't stop. And then there'll be 15 minutes of teasing. And then there'll be 15 minutes of squeezing. And then there'll be 15 minutes of blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come on up and see Dan. Because I rock and roll him all night. I'm a 60-minute man. So that's the Tramps.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lessons.
You know what I mean? You know, so the Tramps is saying, I'm giving you the full hour. This nigga, the full jump off.
Welcome to the Foreplay Digest.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, would we have picked this up as kids?
Apparently we didn't.
We didn't pick none of that shit up, nigga.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that shit was slid right on through. We was too busy trying to be outside playing somewhere.
They got the hook, you know, 60 Minute Man. 60 Minute Man. Then your boy comes in, You know what I'm saying? 15 minutes of squeezing. 15 minutes of, you know, with the heavy, deep voice from the, you know, that 70s jump off. Oh, man. Yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It was obvious to adults, I'm sure. Very clear. But for us kids, it was a different world, yo. We were in a different... Not that we didn't think about kind of the things that kids think about now, but it's just a lot more in your face now. It was subtle shit back then.
Oh, so it's a little bit more subtle versus I'm going to put it in you.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Fuck all that kissing and squeezing, my
well,
nigga.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you really think about this, your man, it seems a little, you know, like even for back then, 15 minutes of, you know, kissing, and then I'll make you holler. You know what I'm saying? Please don't stop. 15 minutes of teasing. 15 minutes of squeezing.
That's about as close to I'll put it in here as you could get right there.
And then at the end, your boy's like, 15 minutes of me blowing my top. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that. We didn't know. We didn't know.
So anyway, I'm going to get out of that. Yo, that's the Tramps. You know what I'm saying? You go check it out yourself if you're interested. 60-Minute Man by the Tramps. I'm listening to all this different shit, and I'm like, yo, what the flying? Yo.
That and your backdoor Santa, all that shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's trying to go back and listen to the music that you missed out on in the youth that you heard.
Oh, man,
he was
what?
Like, damn, I was really here. I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that. Yes.
Go listen to the original Lil' Kim, Millie Jackson.
I didn't
she
even
had
get
some
yeah.
that we knew.
Right. Right. And that was before the parental advisory stickers. Yeah.
Millie Jackson was crazy. Betty Wright was crazy.
Oh, Betty Wright.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's what's good. All right, next topic. This is what they think about you in the words of the Ice Cube. This is what they think about you.
Uh-oh. This is another 2-for-1?
No, this is a 1-for-1, but this is something. Shout the Swerve. Okay, your boy, the comic strip creator Dilbert. Of course, you know he got pulled from all kinds of newspapers. Now, I'm not a gigantic newspaper comic guy. Now, I used to read a little bit of Calvin and Hobbes because they was kind of snarky like that. Mm-hmm. But this nigga just straight out said black people are a hate group and that white people should just get the hell away from them. Just like steer
quote,
clear.
Unquote.
Yes.
And when did he say this?
Recently.
Shit, last week.
Black people are a hate group?
Nigga.
Hate group.
Nigga, here we go. After Adams, what is his real name? Scott Adams. After Adams urged white people to get the hell away from black people during a racist rant on his online video program last week, which he labeled black people a hate group. Yeah, just point blank, and said that white people ought to just get the hell away from them. There's no fixing this.
That freedom of speech gonna cost you.
It always does.
Ice Cube said it the best. This is what they think about you.
Yep.
I used to read Dilbert. I ain't gonna lie, back when it was Sunday papers and the funnies. I read Dilbert.
I didn't read, yep. Again, I was more of a Calvin and Hobbes, maybe some Marmaduke. Yeah.
Far
like
Side,
that.
Shit like that. I was reading that shit, yo. But now we know.
But a lot of them niggas probably thought the same and felt the
oh,
same.
Oh, hell
way.
Yeah. Hell yeah. He just got, look, a liquored up kicker in front of the mic.
Nigga got a platform and he opened that mic up and said some shit. Ooh, and like you said, freedom man. Of speech will cost you.
So anyway, his advertisers pulled out. Washington Post, most major city newspapers dropped Dilbert. You know, of course, you know, he'll run into the arms of the conservative media or whatever, you know what I'm saying, with a bunch of redneck red states and shit. Anyway.
He's already there.
Right. He's definitely
He done came out the closet now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So this is what they think about you. I just think it's unfortunate. I just think that it is, and I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, and maybe cats can rebut this, but I just think, yo, you know, white cats, yo, them motherfuckers is gullible gooses out that motherfucker to me,
damn.
Yo. God damn, these motherfuckers is gullible.
But see, I got a problem with that statement, my nigga.
Okay, my man, please.
When you say white cats, I got a problem with everybody getting thrown in the paddy wagon, B. Everybody's not that.
Okay, so, all right, that's true. Okay, and then if...
Just like this nigga talking about black people are a hate group, all black people are not that.
I tend to look at it like this. I'm not saying that there isn't, if you're a white guy and you have frustrations with African Americans, that there isn't somebody that can speak to your feelings, right? In, I guess, in the same way like Farrakhan does for us. But I continue to say, but nobody trusts Farrakhan as far as you could throw.
Right. Nobody would vote that nigga as,
exactly,
as county dog catcher.
So I look at that, but Farrakhan does and always had the unique talent to speak truth to power like nobody else. Okay? And that's kind of his role. And I'm not saying that Scott Adams, you know, maybe he really frustrated. He was frustrated at a poll that 53% of African Americans basically said something crazy about, or it was not okay to be white or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And he just went ham, you know. But he's not a dumb guy. And I'm like, damn, yo. Okay, I'm not throwing all white folks in that paddy wagon, but it seems like an awful lot of these Newsmax fucking Trump nut niggas.
But see, that's where you're looking for it. If you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it, my nigga. you out there hanging out in the hornet's nest, you're going to get stung.
My man, that's true.
His frustration of what he perceived as a threat hit him at the wrong time. But just think, he may not have been feeling that before. That might have been him seeing that poll or whatever it was, might have been the thing pushing him over the edge.
Nah.
All this, you know what got him? Probably all the Black Lives Matter, all the protests, George Floyd, all that shit.
So let me correct
you. During that pandemic when it was just a fucking over flood, probably just made this nigga's brain just burst.
Let me correct you. The people in the industry said this is a long time coming. And and he always been on that shit.
Well, then he got enablers who knew that shit and let it ride. So forget them too.
So, all right, man, I'm gonna get out of that. Yo, you're right. I'm not trying to throw all white folks under the bus like that. But it just seems like an awful lot of them motherfuckers.
You stay having keys to the paddy wagon, though.
Yeah, this nigga boy, he throw everybody in the paddy wagon instantly. Like, fuck that. I ain't got time to be out here taking the wheat from the shaft.
Exactly.
Take them all downtown and they'll sort it out later.
Yo, you know what? And that is true. I tend not to separate the wheat from the shaft, and I apologize for that. So.
So you going to be okay with some Africans? My nigga, I identify as African. You've been loving me all these years, so.
He's got a problem with the arrogant Africans. The ones that feel like they're better than you because you black Americans are lazy and no good.
Black America.
I'm just being trill, yeah, my nigga. Some of them Africans. I'm sorry, yo. Nah, I ain't throwing everybody. Some of my African brothers be on shit. Okay?
That's
they
growth.
Be on that shit.
Even say that. It's growth, because, nigga, I remember you didn't want to hear nothing about no Africans. And I'm like, what?
It's like,
so you come a long way, sir.
We definitely way. Appreciate you now. So,
All right. Okay, cool. I'm with it.
A damn paddy wagon.
Whoop, whoop.
Rolling up. 5-0, nigga, 5-0.
Exactly. King Killer's that black cop in Menace to Society. Shit. Or is it, no, the black cop in Boys in the Hood.
Oh, damn.
You just throwing niggas in there. You don't care.
Damn. All right, that's what's good. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is shout to everybody on the text chain. This is the topic, top 5 Philadelphia MCs got a little bit of bubble this week. And I thought I'd take it a little bit more different tack this week. We're going to do what, in my opinion, the top five, not the top five hip-hop records in Philadelphia history. This is not a five complete, but this is the foundation of hip-hop from Philadelphia, but the top five records of the foundation of hip-hop.
Damn.
Okay.
Okay. So it's only five. It's a small list. Jeff's on it twice. So,
okay. Yeah. Schooly D on it once.
Let me read through. Okay, here we go. Top five Philadelphia from the foundation of hip hop. All right. At number five, Lady B.
I'm going to say Lady B had to be in there.
To the Beat, y'all.
It had to be in there.
Released in 1979. Wendy Clark, better known by her stage name Lady B, one time rapper.
Power 99.
And Philadelphia radio DJ, of course, Power 99 FM, and a longtime predominantly major rap advocate in the city of Philadelphia. When Power 99 was on and they're playing a lot of rap, a lot of people in Philadelphia did not care for it, but she stuck up for the art form and it continued. All right.
Saturday mornings were great.
Indeed. And so were Friday nights.
Yeah.
Okay. And the record that she put out, To the Beat, y'all, 1979. Now, look, there's, you know, I believe that I thought it was the first solo female record, rap record to be put out. I don't know if there's some controversy about that now, you know, since we are in the 50 years and people are really starting to look back at the history. But in any case, from Philadelphia, it was early enough in 79 to be a factor. Now, was she doing anything? You got to take it. That in 79 is when disco and rap were the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The lyrics were what they were of the day. A lot of, you know, hitting Superman with kryptonite type lyrics, hitting Superman with kryptonite, you know, that's what were the lyrics of the day. That's what she was doing, or whatever, but it is noteworthy because it was released in 1979 on TEC Records, a local Philadelphia based label, and then released again in 1980 by Sylvia Robinson's Sugar Hill Records. So she got two releases on that. And it was mixed by, and this is just happenstance, it's on the record, you can see it, it's not hidden, mixed by Nick Martelli. Does anybody know who that is?
I know, I've heard the name.
Ah, yeah. Indeed. Nick Martelli is a famous engineer and producer, and he worked with the following people: Loose Ends, Phyllis Hyman, Five Star, Stephanie Mills, Regina Bell, and 52nd Street. Those type of beats, damn, that Loose Ends and 52nd, that Tell Me How You Feel, that's your boy, dang, Nick Martelli. He mixed that record.
He's good.
So I just, you know, just as a history, he probably didn't even know he was on. It was just another mixing project for him. Mm. Didn't even know he was going to end up on something hip hop groundbreaking. But anyway, that's number five. Okay. Lady B, To the Beat, y'all. Number four, Dr. Funkenstein, Scratching to the Funk, 1985. And you'd be like, I don't know that record. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Dr. Funkenstein, Scratching to the Funk was nothing more than DJ Cash Money cutting up Pump Me Up for a full damn near 7 minutes. It's really just the DJ routine of him cutting up Pump Me Up. And it was an important record for a couple of reasons. It was an important record that Philadelphia DJs at that point in 1985 had already gained a substantial reputation, okay, for cuts. And now, it's not like today's digital cue point cutting. You know what I'm saying? Shit, hell, he probably had a Radio Shack mixer and needles on the tone arm doing this record.
Not maybe, he did.
Had a quarter on each side.
Or at least a nickel, you know what I mean?
No Serato.
Right.
There was no phase, there was none of that.
None of that shit. So anyway, this is AN2, you know, recorded by Soundmakers Records. recorded in Philadelphia, and it's special projects between Soundmakers Records and TTED Records. I did a whole thing on that label on this show, okay, which was the Chief Go-Go Record. And for DC cats, you know, who kind of sometimes get the reputation, you know, that currently is the renaissance in hip-hop, Go-Go Records really did get played and cut very heavily.
Yeah.
Just as any breakbeat would in the early days.
Yep. New York attached themselves to that shit for sure.
Yes, they did. And that's where you got the salt and pepper sound. And that's where you got a lot
Dougie
of
Fresh.
Dougie Fresh, exactly. So
them niggas was all about that go-go.
Yeah, they was. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know,
Jay-Z.
Well, you know,
6 in the morning. Yeah, we're not going. It's there.
No, the lyrics, I mean, yeah. We're talking about the beats. We're talking about the background beats.
Background beats. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so at number four, and for those of you, you need to check it out again. It's Dr. Funkenstein scratching to the funk. He's literally just scratching up. Pump Me Up from Trouble. Was it Trouble Funk?
Pump Me Up, I think it's Trouble Funk.
Trouble Funk, yeah.
Yes. Basically, he's just cutting up Trouble Funk for 7 minutes, damn near. Crazy. So, at number three, the Gazelle Boys, Scratching Gazelles.
Wow.
1985. Now, you would think,
wow,
you know, shout to the governor, because I know you listening and you checking me, okay? Shout to the governor. But you would think, why is that up there, okay? It's a foundation record. It is a record about, and we've mentioned it several times on this show, Philadelphia, heavy Gazelle City. You get on the SEPTA, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, on the L, whatever, doesn't matter. You got them especially that in 85, and you had them expensive DMC Johnson.
Man,
ooh, niggas, they was getting snatched.
Yeah, put out called Snatching Gazelles.
And Dookie Chain.
Yeah, and the Dookie Chain. You know what I mean? Run it. So anyway, but that's what the record is about. But the record is an uncredited scratch from one Jazzy Jeff. It's the first time you heard that sound effect. It's Jazzy, Jazzy, Jazzy. Now, it's uncredited. Jeff's name's nowhere on the record. I've never seen Jeff get interviewed. If you come on the Hip Hop Digest, that's the first question I'm asking you. Is that you on the Gazelle Boys record? Because even in the comments under the record, people was like, how do we know that was really Jeff?
Because it could have been Jazzy from New York.
It was not Jazzy from New York. It could have been, but I can almost guarantee. But, you know, I definitely could be wrong in that aspect of it. I did have the record bookmarked here, but of course, you know, watch me fuck it up here.
And what's it called again?
Oh, let me get the record here. Here we go.
Jeff, he just said Jazzy Jeff.
He said it.
He said his name. He said his name. So, mystery solved, my nigga. He said, check out Jazzy Jeff.
And the cold crush scratch. So, yes. So, but now that sound effect. Jeff does a DJ set. The first thing you hear, it's Jazzy, Jazzy Jeff. World famous. World famous intro. You're not gonna confuse anybody else with that intro other than Jeff Towns. All right.
But to me, I thought I heard that it's Jazzy Jazz. Didn't that come from
his name is Jeff? I think he used that, didn't he?
I think he got that from the New York Jazzy off that record. It's really? Jazzy Jazzy Jazzy.
So you saying that it's Jazz is something?
Is
okay.
It a sample?
Okay.
I think that's a all sample.
Okay.
Oh wow.
I'm not for sure, but I think I've heard that already.
Okay.
I think that's a sample.
That's real. But I put that in there as number three because Jeff is so big and it's so important to the entire game that was my number three record. Shout to the governor, anybody else who's really steeped in Philadelphia hip-hop history, I'm sure will fact check me.
Philadelphia history cannot be told without DJs.
Well, right. Because that's what I'm saying.
Cash Money.
Right.
And DJ Jazzy Jeff. They got probably some of the best DJs in the entire world coming from that city.
Right. Of course. No doubt. You know what I mean? So all that saying, you know, that's what I'm saying. Shout out to Tap Money. You know what I'm saying?
Tap Money.
Exactly. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Cosmic Kev.
What?
You know what I mean? I don't, you know what I'm saying? I can continue. I can go on. You know what I'm saying? Fresco, Miz. I mean, what's good?
Oh, yeah. So, we don't play.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So we can go on with that. But I'm just saying what I think King Killer, you know, my personal opinion, the foundation of the Jones. So let me move on to number two. Number two, and I said Jazzy was on the list twice, well, for obvious reasons. Number two, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, A Touch of Jazz, 1987, Word Up Records. I'm talking about the original Word Up Records, joint, the one that I bought, you know what I mean? The one where they were biting the Run DMC King of Rock cover. And on the B-side has the Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff holding the new mark, World Supremacy Trophy. I'm talking about real hip hop shit, my G. I never liked that Jive cover. I never liked it. But that's just for here, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Joe the Butcher, you know what I mean? Legendary Philadelphia engineer who engineered the project. You know what I'm saying? Dana Goodman, Lawrence Goodman was involved on the project, Word Up Records. The photograph on the back of the cover was taken by a person by the name of Benjamin Robertson. All in all, that record, A Touch of Jazz, generated two generations of DJs who heard that record and was like, that has got to be the best DJ record ever. Ooh. And if you think about the DJ records that were out at that time, you had a couple of DJ records from Jam Master Jay. Of course, Flash had his DJ record out. Grandmaster D, I think, had Haunted Scratch or something like that. Jeff.
You had Grand Mix to DST.
DST, of course. But Jeff was at a level.
Yeah, Jeff is out of control.
Jeff was at a level that was even back then that, again, two generations of DJs, I believe, were inspired off that record. Too important. Okay, but that was my number two. All right. And number one, Swerve already said it. Schoolie D, PSK, What Does It Mean?
Ooh.
1985, Gucci Time was on the B side.
You could not leave a party without playing that shit at least twice.
You know, a lot of people, it's not enough just to hear hear Ice-T say that. PSK inspired 6 in the Morning, you know, but from 6 in the Morning, even Eazy-E, Boys in the Hood, when you look at cadence and you look at timing and flow, that's all Schoolie D.
It's all Schoolie D.
It's all Schoolie D. And of course, people want to say that was the first gangster record, as Schoolie D does talk about shooting a nigga in the record. He does eventually get around to shooting a nigga.
Parkside.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know what I mean? No doubt.
PSK.
Exactly. And to me, which is always a legendary lyrics or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a kid. I mean, I bought the record. I think I got three copies of that junk. You know what I mean? PSK, What Does It Mean? P for the People. Who can't understand
how one young
boy became a man. You know what I mean?
The way they scream and shout,
one by one, I knock you out.
K for the way my DJ cutting.
Other MCs know you ain't saying nothing. Rocking on to the break of dawn. I think Cold Money, your time is on.
Boom. And I ain't got a street in my 6'4". Clocking a bitch.
And no disrespect. Look, you know, the West
the
Coast.
Same style.
Right.
Same
it's
style.
Just the same style. And that's how, again, you never hear about Schoolie D in the ethos of history unless, you know, you on a show like this. But that record was so big.
Crazy.
And it was so powerful, you know.
Too short. Too Short got that same style from him.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's the top five records. I'm going to run through them very quickly again. At number five, Lady B, To The Beat, Y'all, 1979. Number four, Dr. Funkenstein, Scratch Into the Funk, 1985, but it's just DJ Cash Money, Scratch Into the Funk. Number three, the Gazelle Boys, Scratching Gazelles, with the DJ Jazzy Jeff intro that you'll come to hear decades and decades from that point on. Number two, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, A Touch of Jazz. That record alone spurred generations of DJs to come. And didn't even matter that they bit the Run DMC King of Rock cover. Dope, 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 dope. And number one, Schoolie D, PSK, What Does It Mean? Not only is that inspired a whole new, you know, starting gangster rap, but you even got R&B niggas singing over the beat, you know what I mean? So.
And it's crazy to hear how he did that. How he in there rapping, but he's fucking stepping on a pedal to restart the beat.
Yes.
That's how you had that. I'm like, damn, nigga.
Yes.
Talk exactly. About coordination.
Right. Well, again, like you said, that just goes, that's before Pro Tools when they just had pros. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, Schoolie D is in there, the beat's running. You know, nobody, by himself, nobody's in there, you know, hitting that shit. He's got the pedal to starting to beat over. You know what I mean? So
that's how
crazy.
He was looping that shit.
Right. So absolutely crazy. So that was the top five, again, foundational hip-hop records from Philadelphia. I'm sure, you know, when you're talking about the top five records from Philadelphia, we probably have to start at Philadelphia International, Huff and Gamble, Staying the Fuck Back. I'm going to clear it out. You know what I mean?
Huff and Gamble,
yeah. Give them theirs.
Right.
Well,
of
there's
course.
Only one now. I apologize for not knowing which one passed, but one of them passed
yes,
away.
Yes, they did.
Ago.
Yes, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, but so, they're number one.
Right, exactly.
No question.
Oh, well, yeah, but
on a lot of lists.
Right. I mean, and the amount of music that was recorded in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying? A lot of Cool in the Gang, a lot of Crown Heights Affair. I mean, I just, you know, just way, way too much. So, but anyway, but that's hip hop. So that's what's good. You know what I mean? So,
no doubt.
Indeed. I had to get back on my educational cap. You know what I mean?
And you just inspired the records at the end of the show.
So oh, did I?
All five of them will be at the end of the
wow.
show.
Wow.
There you go. Wow. They wanted it. They get it.
All right. So what do I got here? I don't believe I got anything else. I don't believe here. I did the Dilbert. I did Kodiak. I did the Nas. Okay. So here we go. I've been teasing this here for a good minute, a couple of weeks. Getting some new blood in the game or whatever. So we, starting with this episode, is we are renaming Kerr G's World Famous. You know what I'm saying? It hurts that has served tremendously for millennia.
15 plus years.
You know what I mean?
Man.
We starting something new from a couple of guys in the text chain, okay? They are dubbed the Digital Freaks, and this is the new Digital Freaks Album of the Week. And the Digital Freaks are Peter and Matt. Now, if you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest and you're not in the text chain, see, they give us a digital dump each week. All right? If you really want the exclusive digital dump from the Digital Freaks.
Dump God, nigga, dump God.
Dump God. You know what I'm saying? Woo, 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 woo. If you want that, you got to be in the text chain.
Boo, 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 boo.
You know what I mean? Because really what you're getting at the end of the show is just a smidgen. So, on the first annual, okay, Digital Freaks Album of the Week, Kurt G will still be in his announced role. And, too, don't front, Kurt G's going to give you the old man check just to keep them two niggas from getting out of control. We're going to give him the old man, Kurt G's old man check. So, it's for you, son.
All right. This week's Digital Freak Album of the Week, brought to you by Mr. Peter Johansson, Smokey Joe. Is Rome Streets and Big Ghost LTD wasn't built in a day. That's Rome Streets and Big Ghost LTD wasn't built in a day. Brought to you by Mr. Peter Johansson.
All right.
And then the second one, shout out to Matt. You got me, nigga. But it's all good. You got a Superstition Every Last Word EP. That's Superstition Every Last Word EP. These niggas is my witness. I had that album.
You did.
For this
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll take that hit. For my album of the week is K-Prez, Pain Is Art. K-Prez, Pain Is Art, and he's not an old head. So the albums I bring you might be brought to you by an old head, but they won't. The niggas that I say probably won't be old heads.
It's usually gonna be something new.
Right.
Indeed. So, of course, you know, yes. Yeah, so that's the change at the end of the show. The Digital Freaks album of the week. But again,
I said I was gonna give props.
Well, then give props.
I want to give props to Real Kempy. I haven't seen him in the text chain in a while, but Real Kempy was the one that sent me, DM'd me that intro for last week with Puffy going off.
Oh.
Yeah, that Puffy was brought to you by Real Kempy.
All right.
I appreciate it. And anybody else in the text chain, if you hear some crazy-ass intros that you might think might sound like some shit to digest my play, send them my way.
All right. See, there you go. That's another reason why to be in the Hip Hop Digest. You have a direct effect of what happens on this show. So, you know what I mean? No doubt. So, anybody got anything left over?
Nah, I think we're good, yo.
All right. That's what's good. So, again, I'm trying to get back on my educational game. You know what I mean?
That's a good thing.
So, I hope to do less ranting and raving about what the Young Bulls are doing.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck with that. Niggas started off the show going at 21 Savage and fucking Maple Leaf.
Well, them niggas, they fraudulent anyway, yo. I'm sorry.
Hey, can I, as we out, ask another question?
My man, right, please.
About who would fill the MSG? And it's just popped into my head. Do you think Buster could fill it?
No.
No.
Damn.
Okay. No. He can get a good amount in there.
He couldn't do it.
But I don't think he can fill it.
See, the thing is, the key to, I think, filling the arena in a solo, and I mean not nobody else on the bill, no, like you said, is to have enough material which the King's Disease provided Nas now.
Well, Bus has enough material.
For now?
But he don't have enough super duper hits that niggas could be like, damn, put him up there.
King's Disease sold because of the Young Boys wanting to hear one of their own with a veteran. Okay? So Nas was very smart and shrewd in that way. So, he did a lot of... This wasn't no one or two King's Disease joints at Madison Square. He did a lot of joints.
He did a whole lot of joints. And I disrespected Buster just then. Buster does have a lot of joints.
He does.
But Buster gets disrespected just like I did just now because niggas don't think about him on that level as being one of the greats.
Wait a minute. Let me pull my shoulder, pat in my back.
Niggas don't think about him as being one of the greats. They don't think about that.
But not disrespecting Bus, he can't do Madison Square Dolo.
No. Mm.
Can any of the Wu-Tang members?
Wu-Tang itself can fill it. I think Wu-Tang, the whole Wu-Tang could do it.
As a group,
I think they could get it done.
All right, well then, we done, because I can't think of anybody else solo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah, wow. I'm still running the gamut in my head here.
And Nas just started a new tour with Wu-Tang, as you're talking about him.
That's true, yeah.
So they're getting ready to go out on tour again.
They'll be out here, I think.
They're going to be out here coming soon, because I just heard them talking about it on the radio.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
You know, if they go to Chicago, we know our boy Tobias will be there.
Oh, you damn right. He's going to be in the house.
Wallabies on and shit.
Going up the bees and shit.
So, all right. So, we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for rolling.
people say, what the hell does that mean? People, the people who can't understand. A one whole boy became a man. As for the way you scream and shout, one by one, I'm knocking you out. Came for the way my DJ cutting. Other MCs, man, you ain't say nothing. Rocking on to the break of dawn. I think cold money, your time is on. Making that green, people always say, what the hell does that mean? People, the people who can't understand, a one whole boy became a man. As for the way you scream and shout, one by one, I'm knocking it out. Came for the way my DJ cut, other MCs, man, you ain't say nothing. Rocking on to the brink of dawn, a bank for one and your time is on. Down the avenue, tilting on a J, sipping on some brew. Turn around, see the fly young lady, moving through the curb and park my Mercedes. Say, fly lady, man, you're looking real nice. Sweeter than a honey, sugar, and spice. Told her my name was Insta Schooly D. All about making that cash money. She said, Schooly D, I know your game. Heard about you in the Hall of Fame. I said, mama, mama, I tell you no lies. Cause all I wanna do is to get you high and lay you down and do the body rock. Took a walk to the corner, got into the car. Took a little trip to a fancy bar. Count some brew, some chase, some coke. Tell you now, brother, this ain't no joke. She got me to the crib, she laid me on the bed. I fucked her from my toes to the top of my head. I finally realized the girl was a whore. Gave her $10, she asked me for some more. Fans came with making that green. People always say, what the hell is that mean? People, the people who can't understand. A one whole boy became a man. As for the way you scream and shout, one by one, I'm knocking it out. Came for the way my DJ cutting. Other MCs, when you ain't saying nothing. You're rocking on to the break of dawn. A bank of money, your time is on. Saturday night, towing on a cheaper, I was feeling alright. Then my homie, he called me on the phone. His name is Chief Keith, but we call him Bone. Told me about this party on the south side. Caught my pistol, jumped into a ride. Got at the bar, cop some black. Cop some cheaper, shooting for one little whack. Got to the place, and who did I see? A sucker ass nigga trying to sound like me. Put my pistol up against his head. I said, you sucker ass nigga, that's what she did. I threw it round across my educated mind. Said, man, Schooly D ain't doing no time. Grabbed a microphone and I started to talk. Sucker ass nigga, man, he started to walk. Fans came, we're making that green. People always say, what the hell does that mean? People, the people who can't understand. A one homeboy became a man. For the way you scream and shout, one by one, I'm knocking it out. Came for the way my DJ cut. Other MCs, man, you ain't say nothing. Rocking on to the break of dawn. Think old money, your time is on.
the C and the A, the Z A L. All the figures want to make call Gazelle. They especially refrain back, they call Gazelle. They think that they have clientele. They're addressed with the name, the fortune, and the fame. That's so where maybe y'all to get your brain. You're walking down the street and you're the new attraction. A crew sees you with a just reaction. You hit the corner and you think you're passing. Then they run up to you and exact your glasses. Just take it on the way, blowing the day. Taking people's glasses ain't no way to get paid.
Find something better to occupy your mind instead of going out and committing this crime. Gazelles, gazelles, the clientele, the C-A-Z, the A and the L. Gazelles, gazelles, they look so well. It's always time to get you in there, but
can't
tell.
Can't always trust everyone you meet, because they all might be out to get off beat. It might be someone you know very well. You might come along and snatch your gazelle. Take your own neighbor, they all the same. So you better watch out for your friends. It's the imitation, who can tell? They all still look just like gazelles. Silver, gold, clear or black. If someone gets yours, you might not get them back. Gazelles, gazelles, the clientele, the C-A-Z, the A and the L. Gazelles, gazelles, they look so well. If someone's out to get you, you never can tell. Word up, never stop.
The girls, not the gazelles all around the world. And you know that.
But all he wants to see is your. But all he wants to see is. But all he wants. But all he wants. But all he wants. But all he wants. But all he wants to see. All he wants to see. All he wants to see is your. But all he wants to see is your. But all he wants to see is your body work.
Work your body. Work your body. Work your body.
say clap your hands, everybody. Everybody clap your hands. I just clap your hands, everybody. Everybody clap your hands. Allow me to introduce myself. They call me Mrs. DJ. I got my name in the Hall of Fame by the DJ rhymes I say now. Parental discretion is advised. We're gonna take this trip aloud. Say the words I speak are very true. They're recommended by a triple crowd. You see, if you want to know what moves my soul or shakes inside my brain, I got this beat I can't control and it's driving me insane. I got 18 years experience. I'm the master of karate. Said I don't nobody mess with me and I don't mess with nobody. At the age of one, I was having fun. I was listening to the disco beat. At the age of two, I was doing for you on turntables one and two. I've been number one all my life and I've always played the dozens. Said I got more rhymes in the back of my mind than Alice said he's got cousins. To the max, to the max, to the front, to the back. Put your foot on the rock and back your foot. Don't stop, put your foot on the rock. I've got a style that's all my own. You got Lady B on the microphone. I'm no Perry Johnson or Butterball. I just stopped by to freak out you all. I got a little black book with 1,000 pages with a listing of men that range from all ages to the beat, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Don't stop. I said Jack and Jill went up the hill to have a little fun. But stupid Jill forgot the bill and now they have a son. The pot was a hot, the corn wasn't on. The butter didn't melt to the crack of dawn. I said, you bring the butter and I bring the salt. If you don't freak, then it ain't my fault. Said a hip hop, a hip hip a hop hip. Hip dibby 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 bop. I said a hip a hop, but don't stop, baby. Don't stop, baby, don't stop. Said do it, do it, do 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 it, do it, do it good. I just do it, there ain't nothing to it. It's Lady B in the disco blue. I said a hip hop, but don't stop. We're gonna shock the house. I'm a mean, I'm a clean, I'm a sex machine. Not the shape, the wrinkles out of straight legged feet. I'm gonna tell it to you once, tell it to you straight. I'm the baddest politician since Watergate. Yes, show, I'm in the house. Yes, show, what it's all about. I go down, go down, go down, go down. I go down from coast to coast. DJ's the man, said he's the one with the master plan. He's pleasing ladies day to day, and this is what my man would say. I'm listed in the yellow pages all around the world, and I'm wanted by the cops and the FBI for bugging out you sweet young girls. Sweet ladies, duck ladies, just the ones that I don't see. If I don't get a chance to freak with you, I leave your telephone number with me, you see. Cause I'll call you up 1,000 times at the crack of dawn. If your mama don't mind, to the beat, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Don't stop. To the DJ's funky beat, Lady B, as you know, I will rock you on your stereo. I'm no John Travolta, no Farrah Fawcett. I run more miles than a Tony Dorsett. To the beat, to the DJ's funky beat. I said, take out your ballpoint pens and jot down these lines again. Said it'll be so fine, it'll blow your mind, way up your back and down your spine. I just do it, I just do it. I know a man with a golden voice. He has everything he needs. He's got 2 limousines and 1 Rolls Royce that travels at the fastest speed. Said Reverend Nights on the mic. A Clark Gable's on the turntable. Mickey Mouse gon' build a house. And Donald Duck don't give a. I say what? I to the beach, y'all. I say hip hip a diver, oh socialize. I say come on board, I make my nature rise. I say let's free, let's free. Rock your body, I rock it faster. I got a friend, he's the grandmaster. He'll rock your soul, control your mindset. This is one of the master's lines. Me and Superman had a fight. I hit him in the head with some kryptonite. I hit him so hard, he went insane. I guess who's busting out Lois Lane? It's him, y'all. Yes, y'all. He's busting out Lois Lane. I said a hip hop, a bop, a bop, a bop, bop. For the I got it like that to the beat, y'all. Yes, y'all. Don't stop. I'm saying when I die, I bury me deep. I plant 2 turntables at my feet. I put my mixer in my head, so when you close the casket, I can rock the dead. To the beat, y'all. Yes, y'all. Let's freak. Say hip, a hop, a hip, hip, a hop, hip. Hip, dibby, 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 bop. I said a hip, a hop, a don't stop, baby. Don't stop, baby. Don't stop. To the beat, y'all. Yes, y'all. Don't stop.